Hare Krishna. Under the beautiful starlit sky of Sri Mayapur Dham, we will continue from this morning's narration. I wish to offer my very sincere gratitude to all of you for your sincere enthusiasm to participate in our Mayapur Yatra. When enthusiasm is harmonized with transcendental knowledge and proper Vaishnava etiquette, Krishna manifests himself through that experience to attract our hearts and attract the hearts of all those who we come in contact with. This morning we described the reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent, his appearance, and his wonderful childhood pastimes. Nimai Pandit was such an incredibly learned scholar. Navadvip had earned the reputation of the highest place of learning in the entire world. Of course, only the cultured people of India and the vicinities around here were able to comprehend its glories because they had some appreciation of the Vedic culture. In Navadvip, there were thousands and thousands of great learned professors blessed by the goddess of learning. Each one of them carried exalted titles like Bhattacharya, Mishra, Chakravarti, Acharya. And each of these thousands, tens and thousands of teachers, each had their own unique philosophy to teach. They were speaking from the same books, but each had their own interpretation because they were all very much eager to have a unique position of defeating and outdoing all other teachers. And these were not just the kind of scholars you find in universities and colleges today. These were very, very powerful, learned sages. Sages in the sense that they had very, very deep knowledge. And Nimai Pandit, he was the youngest amongst all of them. He was actually only a teenage boy. And he would just challenge every single one of them, except his own guru, Gangadas Pandit. He would be on the bank of the Ganga with his students. He was so attractive that practically anywhere Nimai Pandit went, he was followed by thousands and thousands of eager students who just wanted to hear every word he spoke. And he never spoke about Krishna. He spoke about grammar. He spoke about rhetoric. He spoke about all of these other Navadvip popular subjects. Sometimes he would sit on bank of the Ganga or at Mukund Sanjay's courtyard. And he would speak so loud, so all other professors would hear him. He would say, as far as I'm concerned, there is no bona fide professors in Navadvip. They go by Bhattacharya, Chakravarti, Acharya, Mishra, all in name only. But none have the real qualification to hold those titles. I dare anyone to answer any one of my questions to prove their position. Nobody could stand before him. Although he appeared to be the most arrogant lad of all of Navadvip, he never offended anybody. He was pleasing to everyone's heart. Even these great professors. He would see them in the street and, I have a question for you. What is your question? He'd ask a question, they'd answer, and he'd rip whatever they said to pieces. Then they tried to defend it, and he'd rip that to pieces. Then they would try to defend that, and he would crush that into fine powder until they were just left speechless in front of their students. And Nimai Pandit very respectfully would say, "That's all right, you're a great scholar. I'm only a student of grammar. You study your books, and tomorrow you can answer my question." But what was the great miracle of Ranga? Even though he would crush people's ego, they were always pleased to be crushed by him. He did in such a sweet way that everyone loved him. Everyone was happy. Although they simultaneously feared him. So wherever Nimai would go, people would down, offering respect, even very senior, learned scholars. This technology is very confusing. So, while Nimai was walking along the Ganga, and he happened to see Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt was very much afraid of him. He loved him, but he just didn't want to wrestle with all of this mundane grammar. So Nimai, he would literally capture people, especially Vaishnavas. He would just go right up to Mukunda and grab his hand and not let him go. He said, "I have some questions." Mukunda Dutt said, "Always argue this grammar. But grammar is a children's subject. There's no glory in arguing grammar. I have a question for you involving the high science of rhetoric." Nimai Pandit said, "What is your question?" So Mukunda Dutt spoke. And Nimai Pandit answered, challenged him on the same subject of rhetoric, and absolutely devastated everything Mukunda Dutt said. Mukunda Dutt was just thinking in his heart, "He's so learned. No human being in all of the earth that could be so intelligent as him. He absolutely knows every scripture and beyond. There's nothing that this boy doesn't know. If only he becomes a devotee of Krishna, then I will never give up his association." He was thinking that in his heart. Meanwhile, Nimai Pandit was defeating all the arguments. And when he saw Mukunda Dutt was speechless, he said, "Now you go home, you study books, answer my questions tomorrow." One day, a very great personality entered into Navadvipa. A most exalted disciple of the great Acharya, Srila Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is described in Gaura Ganodeshtika to be a incarnation of a culpable tree from Goloka Vrindavan. He accepted initiation in the parampara, the Brahma Madhva Sampraya. But in that line of Sripad Madhva, he was the first to feel the ecstatic love of the gopis within the Sampradaya. He exhibited to the highest degree the symptoms of Kaka love. When Mahendra Puri, on his what we call deathbed, during the closing chapter of his earthly lila, he was physically in a very helpless condition. He could not walk. He was not even able to control his inner organs, in the sense that Ishwara Puri, who was a sannyasi, but accepted the role as a very menial, humble servant of his Gurudev. He was cleaning the urine and stool from his guru's body with his own hands. Not only was he not complaining about this service, but he considered himself to be supremely fortunate to have the chance to render such a simple, menial service. And he performed that service with so much love. Ishwara Puri really knew the heart of his spiritual master. During the last days in this world, he was immersed in unbearable ecstasies of love and separation, vipralamba bhav. He composed a beautiful verse, "O Lord of Mathura, where have you gone? How will I survive in your absence?" This beautiful verse was actually the song, the prayer of Srimati Radharani when Krishna left for Mathura with Akrura. The inner significance of this verse, the spiritual feeling of this verse, of love and separation, was so deep that in all of existence, in all material and spiritual worlds, only three people could really understand the emotion of this prayer. And that was Srimati Radharani, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, with the sentiments of love of Srimati Radharani, and Srila Madhavendra Puri. Not a fourth person could fully comprehend it. This was his exalted position. He was just crying in these feelings of separation. Of course, we understand that vipralamba and sambhog are inseparable moods which assist each other in increasing one's loving meditation on the Supreme Lord. When the Beloved is in front of us, our love comes from our heart, through our senses, as an offering. to the Lord. But in separation, when the Lord is not present before our senses, then that love simply goes deeper and deeper and deeper into the very essence of the core of our heart. And Krishna, who is Bhavagrahi, who reciprocates with the love of his devotee, he reciprocates his love within the core of the heart of the devotee, who is in that spirit of separation. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. This is the concept that is inconceivably one indifferent. Because in separation, there is an inner union with the Lord. When Krishna left Vrindavan, apparently in his physical form, he always remained in his bhava expansion within the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. And there he was performing most intimate leelas. So Madhavendra Puri was in that highest ras of loving devotion. And Ishvara Puri understood and appreciated the depth of his love. Therefore, he would remain awake practically day and night, chanting prayers to Lord Krishna, reciting the pastimes of Lord Krishna, chanting the holy names of all of Krishna, just to pacify the heart of his spiritual master. He served him with such love and care that Srila Madhavendra Puri blessed Ishvara Puri. He said, "May love of Krishna awaken in your heart." And within that benediction came the fulfillment of his words. Actually, receiving the mercy of Guru is not just a mechanical procedure. When a person earnestly and honestly gives one's life and soul to assist the spiritual master, to please the spiritual master, then the heartfelt, intimate, most blessings of the spiritual master spontaneously come upon that devotee. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the origin of the Paramatma in every heart, understood the glorious activities and position of Ishvara Puri. After Madhavendra Puri left this world to return to Sri Goloka Dham, Ishvara Puri traveled as a sannyasi to various holy places. He did not accept any place as his home. He just wandered about, always engrossed in loving meditation on Sri Sri Radham Krishna in Vrindavan. He came to Sri Navadvipa Dham, but he came in such a way that absolutely no one here knew who he was. Although he was actually very famous. He came to Sri Navadvip wearing just very tattered old clothes of a renunciate. There was just absolutely nothing special about the way he posed himself. He just appeared like a very simple, ordinary beggar, mendicant. That's the way he presented himself. Just close to where we're sitting is Sri Vasangam, within that courtyard is Advaita Bhavan, which was the home of Advaitacharya in Navadvip. Advaita Prabhu was performing his puja. At that time, Ishwarapuri very quietly, unassumingly, sat down in front of Advaitacharya to watch him perform his puja. He just sat on the ground, very ordinary. Advaitacharya looked at him. He just looked like such an ordinary, regular beggar in the way he dressed and the way he held himself. But there was a special effulgence within him that Advaitacharya could detect. Advaitacharya just stared at him. And he said, "Son, where are you coming from and who are you?" And Ishwarapuri, very honestly, replied to his question from the core of his heart. He said, "I am a very insignificant fallen Sudra. That's all." Now, in Navadvip, everyone thought that Ishwarapuri was just a poor beggar. Only the very elevated Vaishnavas could comprehend what kind of a personality he was. So Mukunda Dutt detected something very, very transcendentally special in him. Mukunda Dutt began to sing. Oh, when Mukunda Dutt sang, transformations in devotees' hearts became overwhelming. Whenever Mukunda Dutt sang in the assembly of the Vaishnavas, people would weep, they would cry, their hairs would stand on end. Sometimes they would helplessly just fall to the ground and roll. Other times they would just be beside themselves and just grab onto the lotus feet of Mukunda Dutt in gratitude. Wouldn't you love to hear his beautiful voice? It wasn't that he was simply trained by a classical music instructor to sing melodious ragas. That does not penetrate a heart in that way. But Mukunda Dutt sang with pure, unconditional love. He was empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially to melt the devotee's heart in the highest realms of ecstasy whenever he sang. When he sang of Krishna's leelas, that sound vibration would cause the very leela to be visually enacted in the devotee's hearts. That was the power of his singing. So he began to sing about Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. And as soon as Ishwarapuri heard it, he fell to the ground. Uncontrollably fell to the ground. Torrents of uncontrollable tears just bathed his body. His limbs were trembling. When Advaitacharya saw this, he lifted up Ishwarapuri and put him on his own lap. And within an instant, Advaitacharya was completely soaked by the tears of Ishwarapuri. It was at that time Advaitacharya, Mukunda Dutt, and all the Vaishnavas understood, this is the great Ishwarapuri. They were so deeply grateful that this famous transcendental Acharya had come to Navadvip. They offered him all honor and love. Ishwarapuri stayed for several months in Navadvip. He lived at the house of Gopinath Acharya. At that time, he was writing a book. It was called Krishna Lilamrita. And Gadadhar Pandit Gadadhar Pandit, who was still a boy, teenage boy. He was perhaps at that time almost 20. He loved Ishwara Puri, and Ishwara Puri loved him. Gadadhar Pandit would, for hours and hours and hours a day, just be there hearing Ishwara Puri and rendering humble services to him. One day, when Nimai Pandit, was just finishing giving lessons at the home of Mukunda Sanjay, he was walking home, and on the way, by his own sweet will, he happened to meet on the path Srila Ishwara Puri. The Lord, knowing the greatness of this devotee, bowed down and took the dust of his feet. As soon as Ishwara Puri saw the Lord, he fell in love with him. But he didn't know why. By the yoga potency of Lord Chaitanya, he could not understand. He just was captivated by the beauty and the charm of this boy. He asked, "Who are you? Are you the person I've been hearing about?" And one of Nimai's students said, "He is Nimai Pandit." He said, "Oh, you are that Nimai Pandit. I have heard all about you." And Nimai said, after they spoke for a few minutes, he invited Ishwara Puri spontaneously to come to his home for prasad. The two of them walked together to the house of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And when they arrived, Sachi Mata and Lakshmi Devi were so overjoyed that such a great sadhu had come. Immediately, Sachi Mata took all the preparations that had just been offered to Lord Krishna and presented them to Lord Gauranga to serve Ishwara Puri. The Lord humbly served him with great happiness. After the meal, Ishwara Puri was brought into the temple of Vishnu, where the whole family sat with him, and they asked him to speak about Krishna. Ishwara Puri spoke on the subject of Harikatha for the rest of the night. And you're already tired. Of course, listening to me, that's the natural reaction. When Lord Chaitanya heard what love he was speaking about Krishna, he was manifesting symptoms of love that he would never ever reveal to a materialistic person or even a neophyte devotee. But he spontaneously just released the treasures of his heart, being charmed by the loving hospitality of Sachi Mata, Lakshmi Devi, and Lord Chaitanya. So the Lord very, very deeply appreciated this Vaishnava. He saw that he was genuine, he was deep, he was real. So every day after that, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu would go to the house of Gopinathacharya and spend a couple hours hearing Ishwara Puri give his lectures from his own book, Krishna Lilamrita. He would have so many wonderful discussions with Ishwara Puri. And please hear, my friends, Lord Chaitanya never debated with him. Never presented any arguments to him. He simply listened to him submissively. Such a deep bond of love was there. And Ishwarapuri just couldn't understand why he loved this little grammar teacher so dearly. One day, Sripad Ishwarapuripad requested Nimai Pandit that you are a very, very great learned scholar, especially in grammar. I'm writing this book, Krishna Lilamrita, but it's filled with so many mistakes. Can you edit my book and correct whatever faults are in it? Sri Gaurasundar replied that in the speaking or in the writing of a great Vaishnava, what is this? Janani Vas Prabhu is sitting at the back on the grass. Janani Vas Prabhu, we request you to please come and let us all see your divine transcendental form. Please come forward. Whoever would like to see Janani Vas Prabhu loudly chant Hari Bol. It is the will of the Vaishnavas. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ishwarapuri that when a devotee writes something, there cannot be any fault in it. Even if technically, grammatically, there is some apparent defect, if anyone finds fault with the heartfelt glorification of Krishna from a devotee, that person is an offender and will have to suffer. Because whatever a great devotee does, he does it as an offering of love and devotion to Krishna. And Krishna does not see faults. Krishna sees the love. So if anyone sees such a fault, it is that person's fault. It is his defect. Your writings are written with pure unalloyed devotion. Therefore, I dare not even think that there could be any defect or fault. When Ishwarapuri heard Lord Chaitanya glorifying devotional service so beautifully, he just was splashed in ecstasy. But he said, but still, people have to read this. I know what you're saying is good, but there are so many defects and so many faults in my writings. Please help me and correct them. So every day the Lord would go there, and he would hear Ishwarapuri speak from his Krishna Lilamrita. One day, the Lord spoke up. He said, actually, a particular verb usage that you have given in your writing is not correct. You have given the word Atmanepada. But there is a better verb that can be used than that. Ishwarapuri was quiet. He said, thank you very much. Then Lord Chaitanya, later on, he took leave and went home. Ishwarapuri, Janani Vas Prabhu has come. Where is Janani Vas Prabhu? Anyways, he's like Ishwara Puri. Only if he reveals himself can he be known as he is. So that night, Ishwara Puri, who was a very great scholar himself, he very deeply pondered on what Lord Chaitanya told him. The next day, when the Lord returned, Ishwara Puri said, actually, the word, Atmanepada, is correct. There's no reason to change it. I have very carefully studied the subject. When Ishwara Puri said that, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the great Nimai Pandit, actually accepted defeat. Wow. The first and only time in his career as Nimai Pandit. Ishwara Puri presented, you were wrong. He literally said that. He said, you were wrong. Atmanepada is the proper verb, and the one that you suggested I use instead is not right. And the Lord remained silent, accepting defeat from the hands of his devotee. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! After some days, Shri Padishwara Puri departed to wander here and there, making so many places holy by the touch of his lotus feet. Meanwhile, in Navadvip Dham, the devotees were very, very much praying for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deliverance. As we were speaking this morning, they would regularly go to the Ganga and they would see thousands and thousands of students around Lord Chaitanya. And they would hear him speaking. His voice was so sweet, like nectar. And they would look at his beautiful form. He had lotus-like eyes that literally extended practically to his ears. His complexion was like resplendent gold. His teeth were like rows of precious pearls. He tied his dhoti in the Yogapata style, which was very, very charming, and he sat in the Virasan. And as he would be speaking to his students, it was the ultimate pleasure to the eyes. The devotees would go to Ganga and just pray to Mother Ganga, please give me my pure, unalloyed love of Krishna. Let him taste the nectar of pure love for Krishna. We will never give up his association. If he becomes a devotee, he can transform so many people's hearts to the path of bhakti. Lord Chaitanya would do his teachings. And sometimes, actually every day almost, he would just, after his school, he would wander through Navadvip town. On one particular day, he wanted to give his causeless mercy to so many fortunate souls, just by charming their hearts and inducing them to render some service. Srila Prabhupada explains, if a devotee or even an ordinary person addicted to sinful activities, if they knowingly render some service with affection. They make heaps of spiritual progress. Even if they really don't understand what is Krishna or what is Krishna consciousness, if they have some appreciation for a devotee or any aspect of bhakti and render some service in that mood of appreciation, they make tremendous spiritual advancement because Krishna reciprocates with that feeling of appreciation. Nimai Pandit, with his students, they went to the shop of a weaver, one who made clothes. And Nimai came in and said, "Please give me your best clothes, but I don't have any money to pay for it." And the weaver came out with his best clothes. He said, "Oh, you have come, you have blessed my shop. Please take this. And if you like it, you can pay. If you like it, you don't even have to pay. Whatever your heart tells you to do." And he gave him his best cloths. Then Nimai went to a merchant who made fragrant scented oils. And the man just immediately sat him down and said, "Let me anoint your body with my finest oils." And Nimai said, "But I have no money to pay." He said, "That's all right. You have come to my shop." He said, "I will cover your body. I will massage your body with these oils. And after you take your bath, if it's still fragrant and you're completely satisfied, then you can come and give me whatever price you like. Or if your heart tells you, you don't have to give me anything." And he gave him all this nice oil. Then the Lord went to a garland maker. As soon as he walked in, the garland maker came and said, "Oh, you are my guest." His heart was charmed. He said, "Let me give you my very, very best garland." The Lord said, "But I don't have any money. Why do you want to give it to me?" He said, "Because I must follow my heart. My heart tells me to give this to you." Then he went to the house of a betel nut seller. And immediately the person just gave him a nice seat and said, "My house is holy because you have come." Then he packed all the best, most exquisite spices. And Nimai said, "But I didn't even ask for them. And besides that, I have no money." He said, "But my heart wants to give this to you. Please accept it." Then he went to the place of a conch shell seller. And there the Lord said, "Please give me your best conch shell. But I don't have anything." So he brought him his nicest conch shell. Huh? I'm very happy about this. This one is also some ritualistic light that doesn't have any practical value. Yes. Then the Lord went to a milkman. Actually, he went into a whole village of milkmen, cowherd men. And they all came and approached him and said, "Oh, you are a great Brahmin. Please come to my house. We have made rice for you. We have kheer and sweet rice, and we have butter and yogurt and ghee and Sara, and so many milk sweets, so many milk products. Please come to our house and accept it." And they were all almost debating with each other, trying to get Lord Chaitanya to come to their house. And Nimai explained to them, "Why do you want me to come to your house so much?" He said, "Because you are a Brahmin. You will bestow your benedictions upon us. He said, oh, I'm not a Brahmin. My dear brothers, I am a cowherd boy. So, although they couldn't understand what he was saying, he treated them just like a cowherd boy would treat other cowherd boys, just like his own brother. So very affectionately, each one of them was inviting the Lord to their homes, and they were just filling him up with all the most delectable, delicious milk sweets that they had made. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through Navadvip, and actually anyone, even though they didn't know he was the Supreme Lord, they just loved him because of who he was. They all attained the ultimate perfection of Krishna Prema because they offered their hearts to the Lord. Then the Lord came to the house of an astrologer. This man was very famous because he could tell past, present, and future. He was a devotee of Bal Gopal, and he had this mystic power where he would go into meditation and pray to Bal Gopal, please tell me about this person's life. And Bal Gopal would reveal everything about that person. So the Lord went to the astrologer, an all-knowing sage, and he asked the sage, oh, all-knowing sage, you know everything. Please tell me who I was in my last life. The sage was so charmed by his effulgent beauty. He said, please sit down, my son, and in only a few minutes I will tell you who you were in your past life. He entered into a trance of meditation, praying to Sri Bal Gopal to reveal, O Lord, who was this young Brahmin in his past life? In his heart, he had a vision. He saw a beautiful personality who had a complexion like a monsoon rain cloud. The Kostubamani was effulgently illuminating all directions. This personality had four arms holding the chakra, the club, the lotus flower, and the conch shell. He was manifested with beautiful golden crown, yellow dhoti. He was in a pitch dark prison, but he was illuminating it. It was midnight. It was the prison cell of Kamsa. Then he saw Vasudeva and Devaki offering prayers to him. The all-knowing sage, enthralled by this sight, observed. After offering prayers, that personality manifested the form of a beautiful little child with two arms. He saw Vasudeva take that child, hold him to his chest, and carry him across the Jamuna River to Gokul Mahavan. Then he saw that little child whose complexion was like a tamal tree, beautiful lotus eyes, and bimba fruit red lips. As a little baby with butter smeared on both of his hands from his lila of Makanchur, he was seeing his eternal Ishtadev, his ultimate object of worship, Bal Gopal, performing a lila within his heart. The all-knowing sage, his heart was melting in ecstatic love. Then he saw that beautiful little baby, Makanchor Gopal, manifest the form of Kishore Krishna. He stood in a threefold bending form, and he was playing upon his celebrated flute. And millions of gopis were dancing and singing as he was playing upon his flute. At this point, the all-knowing sage was completely bewildered, because he was trying to do some service. He really wanted to please Nimai. He said, "Bhagopal, I don't know what kind of illusions you're creating, but please, my mission is to understand who this Brahmin was in his past life. Please reveal to me who this Brahmin was in his past life. All these things are happening to me, but tell me, who is this Brahmin? He's asked me, it's my service, I must please him." Then he went back into his meditation. He saw a beautiful golden throne. Sitting on that throne was a majestic, all-beautiful personality whose complexion was green like the Durba grass. It was Sri Ramchandra, holding a golden bowl with a quiver filled with celestial arrows. Beside Sri Ram, he saw Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, and the various monkey soldiers. He tried to somehow or other get these thoughts aside so he could perform his service. And the next thing he saw was Lord Varahadev. He saw a beautiful boar who was holding the earth between his tusks. Then the scene in his heart transformed into the all-powerful form of Lord Narasimhadev, who was a shoreless ocean of compassion to his devotees. Then he saw Vamanadev performing his leela in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. And there he saw Bali Maharaj surrendering his life and soul after being cheated by Vamanadev. The next thing he saw in his meditation was Matsyavatar, a gigantic fish. How big was he? Huh? 800,000 miles in size. But when Krishna wants to become a fish, he's the best fish. Matsyavatar was blissfully splashing and playing and swimming in the entire ocean of devastation. Then that scene transformed, and he saw Sri Balaramji, whose complexion was white like a newly formed spring cloud. He was holding his plow, and he was in a very angry mood as he was chastising the river Jamuna for not surrendering to his will. Then that beautiful form transformed, and the all-knowing sage saw within his heart Lord Jagannath of Sri Purushottam Kshetra. He was beautifully sitting on his altar with Subhadra Devi, his sister, on one side and Baladev beside her. The all-knowing sage Pansi, Jagannath Darshan, and all these avatars was completely bewildered. He was praying from his heart, "Bhagopal, please reveal to me, who was this Brahmin in his last life?" Then he began to think in his mind that maybe this Brahmin is playing tricks on me. Maybe he's a demigod who's come to bewilder me. Or maybe he's a mystic yogi who's performing all these mystic siddhis and bewildering my mind. Or maybe he's an all-knowing sage just like me who's come to defeat me. I don't know who he is. I don't know who this person is. please reveal. And as he was in this meditation, deeper and deeper, praying to the Lord, Nimai said, so, who am I? Why do you hesitate? Who was I in my previous life? And the all-knowing sage said, I will chant my mantras and I will meditate. You come back this afternoon and I will tell you. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Then the Lord departed very blissfully from the astrologer and entered into Simantadweep, where he went to the little shop of Kulavecha Sridhar. Every day he would go to Sridhar and argue with him for at least 1 to 2 hours on the price of banana leaves. Sridhar was more honest. He was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. He gave the absolute cheapest price he could possibly survive on. And then whatever money he would make, he would give half, the first half, to worship Mother Ganga, knowing her to be a compassionate devotee of the Lord. So the Lord, with his associates, came to Sridhar's abode. And he said, Sridhar, why do you worship Krishna? You're always chanting Hari Hari, but what is Hari Hari doing for you? Look at you. Your clothes, they're ragged. And look at your house. And look at how emaciated and thin you are. What is the use? Look at all these other people. They worship Durga Devi. And they have opulent food, nice houses, good clothes. What are you gaining by constantly chanting Krishna's names? Please tell me this. And Sridhar, very humble, he said, I'm happy. I don't need anything. I have clothes. I'm wearing clothes, look. The Lord said, yes, you're wearing clothes, but they're knotted in at least 10 places. He said, I have a house. The Lord said, yes, you have a straw hut, but I see that it's filled with rainwater. Because it can't even keep the rain out. He said, and I may not eat the most opulent foods, but I eat. But look at your body, you're emaciated. You're so thin. Kulavecha Sridhar revealed his heart. He said, everyone essentially passes their time in the same way on this material platform. He said, I see a king. He has beautiful clothes, a royal palace, very, very luxurious foods. And then there is the bird. He's just dressed with his feathers, living in some grass in a nest on a tree. But really, they're just passing their time in the same way. I don't see a difference. I'm happy chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya challenged, how much do you want for these bananas? He said, whatever you want to pay. The Lord said, I don't want to pay you anything. Kulavecha Sridhar said, every single day you do this to me. Every day you take my bananas and don't pay me anything. We argue for 2 hours and ultimately you just leave without giving anything. He said, I'm a very poor man. How will I possibly survive if you come every day and take my bananas and my leaves and my roots? Why don't you go to another seller if you don't like my price? And the Lord said, because when I have a good supplier, I will never give him up. Kulaveta Sridhar was thinking in his heart, silently, if I don't give this Brahmin whatever he wants, he may hit me with his fist someday. And besides that, what is the loss if I give to a Brahmin? And he felt such intimate, spontaneous love for Nimai.